Elizabeth Elliot says, "It takes a steadfast heart to allow the Lord to let His will be done in us. I say it to Him over and over, 'Lord, do anything You want with me, at any cost, work Your will in me.'" Welcome to Gateway to Joy, a ministry of Elizabeth Elliot, author of over 20 books, including Through Gates of Splendor and The Music of His Promises, Listening to God with Love, Trust, and Obedience. As you seek a closer walk with Jesus Christ, thank you for joining us for another challenge from Elizabeth Elliot.
The eternal God is your refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. This is your friend Elizabeth Elliot talking with you today about Paul's letter to the Philippian Christians. The Epistle to the Philippians is what it's called, and it's a letter filled with joy and thanksgiving. Joy and thanksgiving in the worst of human circumstances. Paul was in prison. I think about that marvelous old lady, Corrie ten Boom. She and her family had been harboring Jews in Holland during World War II. This, of course, was forbidden, and they knew that the penalty would be the concentration camp. They got that penalty. Somebody betrayed them. They were discovered, and they were sent to the concentration camps in Germany. And Corrie went round the world for years after that, testifying to the grace of God, to the joy, to the security that she found in Jesus Christ, even in the worst imaginable circumstances. And I remember the most vivid picture that she painted of how when she was in solitary confinement, she would leap to her feet as soon as she woke up in the morning, and she would start singing as loud as she could so that the other prisoners would be able to hear her, stand up for Jesus. And she gave thanks, imagine this, for the companionship of the ants that crawled around in her cell. It was nice to have another little living creature that she could watch and talk to. And another one who experienced imprisonment. Actually, it was labor camps, and I suppose in many ways they were worse than just sitting in solitary confinement. It was Walter Cizik. I don't know how you pronounce it. It's C-I-S-Z-E-K, and I'm just guessing. But he tells about a point where he really reached the end of his rope spiritually. He was being tortured, and he was not sure that he would be able to hold out and not deny his Lord. He says, "With a sudden and almost blinding clarity and simplicity, I realized that I had been trying to do something with my own will and intellect that was at once too much and mostly all wrong. God's will was not hidden somewhere out there in the situations in which I found myself. The situations themselves were His will for me. What He wanted was for me to accept these situations as from His hands, to let go of the reins and place myself entirely at His disposal. He was asking of me an act of total trust, allowing for no interference or restless striving on my part, no reservations, no exceptions, no areas where I could set conditions or seem to hesitate. He was asking a complete gift of self." That, I believe, is what God is asking of you and me, a complete gift of ourselves. And the situation in which we find ourselves is the very place in which God has designed our opportunity to present ourselves to Him in that unreserved way. Now I'd like to read to you from the second chapter of his letter. He says, "If you have any encouragement from being united with Christ, if any comfort from His love, if any fellowship with the Spirit, if any tenderness and compassion, then make my joy complete by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility consider others better than yourselves. Each of you should look not only to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. Your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus. Do you have any encouragement? Paul must have been hoping that he had been able to impart some encouragement, even if in small measure. He's asking them, do you have anything at all? Then he says, there's one more thing that will complete my joy, and that is that they should be one in spirit. Make my joy complete, he says, by being like-minded, having the same love, being one in spirit and purpose. Love means oneness, agreement, harmony. Paul doesn't spend any time describing how awful things are for him or asking for sympathy. You don't hear him complaining. His whole concern is for his beloved Philippian brothers and sisters. And what does love mean, according to Paul's letter here? It means to get rid of selfish ambition and conceit. Do nothing out of selfish ambition or vain conceit, but in humility, consider others better than yourselves. That doesn't really fit in with what the world is telling us these days, does it? The world is telling us that we're supposed to be somebody and to say to ourselves, I am somebody. And I've got to get my needs fulfilled. And I've got to do my thing because this is my life and it's my body. The Christian view is diametrically opposite. It's not my body. It's Christ's. I'm his property. I'm bought with a price. Therefore, I am to glorify God in my body. It doesn't matter who I am. What matters is who Christ is and what Christ wants to make of me. So Paul says, consider others better than yourselves. It's not an easy thing for most of us selfish, conceited people, is it? Paul sets the example. He has received encouragement from being united with Christ. How about the rest of you? How about me? What does it take? Does it take better conditions? Paul found comfort from Christ's love and fellowship in the Spirit. And that love is constant, ever-present, surrounding us, upholding us, overshadowing us. The love of God is greater far than tongue or pen could ever tell. It goes beyond the highest star and reaches to the lowest hell. Could we with ink the ocean fill, or were the skies of parchment made, were every stalk on earth a quill, and every man a scribe by trade, to write the love of God above would drain the ocean dry, nor could the scroll contain the whole, though stretched from sky to sky. I've been told that those words were scribbled on the wall of a prison, discovered after the death of the prisoner. Paul says in verse 5 of Philippians 2, your attitude should be the same as that of Christ Jesus, who being in very nature God, did not consider equality with God something to be grasped, but made himself nothing, taking the nature of a servant, being made in human likeness. And being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God exalted him to the highest place and gave him the name that is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow, in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Another concept that totally contradicts what the world is telling us. Equality, according to the world, is indeed something to be grasped at. Jesus, even though he was God by nature, became a slave by nature and did not consider equality with God something to be grasped. And here's the staggering thing. Verse 7 says, he made himself nothing. He annihilated himself. That's what the word really means. Made himself nothing. Sometimes when I talk about the submission of wives to their husbands, which of course is a concept that I did not get out of my head, but out of the Bible. If I had been talking off the top of my head, it would be a different story. But when I talk about that, I hear women say so often, well, what am I supposed to be, a doormat? I would point you to this passage. Jesus made himself nothing, less than a doormat. How can we look to the interests of others? By taking the same attitude that Jesus took. A willingness not to be equal, a willingness to do the lowest job of the lowest servant, the dirty job, perhaps, that nobody else wants to do, or let's say the invisible job that nobody is going to notice and you're not going to be publicly thanked for. Just recently, I was at a women's conference. I didn't really look at my watch to see how many minutes were spent thanking all the women individually by name who had done all the things to make this conference possible. And I thought, I wonder what would happen if volunteers were asked for and told in advance that there wouldn't be any public recognition of what they had done. It just might, in some churches, reduce the number of volunteers. But if we're going to have the attitude that Jesus has, let us be obedient, even to death, the kinds of deaths that God asks us to die each day, death to ourselves.
Growing up, Elizabeth Elliot understood that studying the Bible is a vital priority for the Christian life. And ladies, we can also establish a solid foundation for our lives through daily Bible reading and prayer. Join us next time as we think about the eternal truth of God's Word here on Gateway to Joy. Anything, if offered to God, can and will become your Gateway to Joy. This has been a production of the Bible Broadcasting Network.